Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
We're going to be starting a new series this morning. We're going to take the next couple of weeks, and we're going to be discussing, it's titled this, Anything But Average. Anything But Average is what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. And this idea behind this is really this premise. Nobody really wants to be average. Nobody really wants to be average. Now, I know that sometimes you might hear me say that nobody really wants to be average. You say, Pastor Wes, you don't really understand, because there's times I feel like so much less than everybody. There's times that I feel like I'm just not where everyone else is, and I'm struggling, and they're running, and I'm barely crawling. And if I could be average, I would be so happy. I mean, average might feel or seem to you like it's a huge success, but I want to challenge that this morning, because I want to tell you, while you think average will make you happy, average will not make you happy. Because everyone does it. Everyone can be average. And you think, you know, man, if I could be average, I'd be doing a happy dance right now. Well, I think that there are things that we convince ourselves of that necessarily are not true. And I really don't believe that anyone really wants to be average. If you're here today and say you meet a great person, you're single, you go out a couple of times and things seem like they're kind of clicking and the conversation's good and you know, it seems like it's nice and it's good and it's healthy, and you kind of have the DTR conversation. How many know what the DTR conversation is? DTR, the define the relationship. It's usually one the girl says, so. What? Hit what? Yeah, I mean, you know, and usually it's not the guy. It's usually the girl who just says, so, what are we doing here? What is this? And the guy's, you know, it's dinner. You know, all of a sudden you want to define the relationship. What's really going on? What's really happening? I seriously doubt that if you say, let's define this thing, what's going on, that you want them to reach across the table, take your hands, look deep into your eyes, and say, you were so average. And when I met you, I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I met the most average girl today. Nobody really wants to be average. That's not what, you know, you're not going to go to your friend and say, man, I met this just really, you know, average girl, and have him go, high five, man. High five. You know, talk to a couple that's been married 20, 30, 40 years. Ask them how they made it and how they got through the challenges that come with life and marriage together in a time and a place that marriages struggle so much. And I doubt that they will look at you and say, listen, just stay with the crowd. Don't try to be great. Don't try to be horrible. Just stay in the middle of the pack. Nobody wants to be average. If you go home today and you go to Facebook and you open up your account and you're scrolling through the pictures, no one ever posts a picture of their beautiful child and says, oh, my average little child. I've seen a lot of birthday cakes in my day. I've never seen one to happy birthday, Wes Johnson, you're so average. We don't want to be average. It's not what's in our heart. We don't want to think like that. We don't want to live like that. No one wants to be an average friend. No one wants to be an average employee. Nobody wants to be an average mom or an average dad or an average husband or an average wife. We all want to be above average. And I think sometimes we try to convince ourselves that average will make us happy, but in our hearts, we really don't want to be average. We want to be above average. We want to be the best that we can be. We want to be something more and something exceptional. And the reason that so many people don't feel attention about this is this. We don't put ourselves in the average category. Now, we're going to get into something. Y'all got to love me at the end of this, okay? And the thing is this. So we live in a world where we don't like average. But here's the thing. Averages are an indicator of what is true or most true about most of us. All right, I want to read that again. Averages are an indicator of what is most true about most of us. And there are studies that are done, millions of dollars that are spent every year to figure out what the average person does, what the average person thinks about, what the average person spends their money on, what the average person does with their time. And the genius behind marketing is this. They create the scenario by looking at the averages, and they throw a commercial up on TV or they put a sale up in a store, and you walk by and you go, oh, how did they know I need that? Because they have studied the averages. The averages indicate what is true of most of us. Now, we hate that because we don't ever want to think or feel like we're average. We don't want to do that. Most of us in this room, the average is based on us, and it tells us to a point what is true about us. Now, I want to say this. I love our country. I think we are the greatest country in the world, and if you're from a different country, I mean, no offense, except possibly France, I don't know, but we're not a perfect country, but here's the thing, we have an above average economy, we have an above average standard of living, so I would think it wouldn't be a bad thing to be an average American. Until you start looking and seeing, what does it mean to be an average American? You realize that the average American spends 103% of their income? The average American is $15,000 in credit card debt. The average American is 23 pounds over their ideal weight. Now, I can say for my case, I'm not average. I'm just not tall enough. If I was as tall as I should have been, this would be all right. The average American hates their job because of their boss, except my staff. And you might be looking at this and you'll be thinking, well, I'm above average. Well, averages simply tell us what is true about most of us. Do you know that the average American dad spends 27.5 hours a week engaged in entertainment and leisure activities? And the average American dad spends 7 hours a week with their kids. You know, they did a study done on the average American, and they have discovered this, again, by averages, that the more we make, the less we give. That the average American uses a form of deception in 1 out of 5 interactions. That means if you came here this morning and you spoke to at least 5 people, one of them lied to you. You know, the average American has an 8-second attention span now. Do you know what has a 9-second attention span? A goldfish. We lose to a goldfish that you win at the fair and you put it in a bag. And maybe its nose, at that point, I'm a goner. I'm just going to take it all in. I don't know what's going on. But 9 seconds for a goldfish, the average American, 8-second attention span. What's so great about average? Because the thing is, I don't really think we want to be average. I don't think we want to be an average American. I don't think we want to be an average mom or dad. I don't think we want to be an average husband or wife, an average young adult, an average single, or an average child. And the great thing about it is Jesus doesn't want you to be average either. And in the scriptures, he teaches us a couple of behaviors that will help us live a life that is anything but average. And we, over the next couple of weeks, are going to look into these things. We're going to get into these things that Jesus talked about and shows us how to help us be above average. So to get in there, I need to first kind of establish where we are. So I know kind of where to start. So this is going to be a survey to find out if you are an average crowd or an above average crowd. If you're above average, you can stay. If you're just average, we'll have to talk about it. So what's going to happen is this, is I'm going to start a phrase, and I want you to finish it. The kind of old saying, anybody love old sayings? I love old sayings. I'm an old soul when it comes to this. I love quotes, I love old sayings, and so some of you may have heard these. An eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. All right, you guys are excellent. That was a softball. That was an easy one. All right. If someone offends you, you should turn. You guys are, that's a little late. It's almost cheating. I really think you waited for them and then you're just Johnny come lately. But you're the guy who waits to see which way everybody's going and then runs to the front and says, hey, I'm the leader. I'm just going to leave that alone. He's a great guy. He would give you the shirt off his back. Excellent. Go the extra mile. All right, you guys are awesome, man. You guys are good. Y'all all can stay. So here's my next question. Do you know where they're from? Where are those sayings from? All right, the Bible. Okay, all right, now here, just stick with me. Seeing that we're in church, I'm going to guess that the Bible is a pretty average answer. Matthew 5. Somebody saw the first slide. That's good. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. They're from the Sermon on the Mount. And who knows who said them? Jesus. Jesus said these things. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at some of these phrases, some of the things that Jesus said that are common in our world, because we hear those things not just in their church, we hear those things out in society, we hear them all over the place. People don't really know where they came from. They came not just from the Bible, which is a very general answer. They came from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 5, during the Sermon on the Mount. They come right out of Scripture. Now, these are things that are above average things. These are not normal. These are things that we're challenged to do with our lives. Now, just a couple of words about the Sermon on the Mount. There are a lot of people who debate whether or not that Matthew chapter 5 was one whole sermon or whether Matthew did the Sermon on the Mount and then took things that Jesus had said other places and put it all together for us to read in one amazing chapter. And the reason that they say this, because we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but Mark, Luke, and John all have these same things, but they're spread out. Matthew simply put them all together. Okay, so that's where that comes from. So this portion of Scripture teaches us this amazing thing that we are called to live. Now, one of the things that everybody agrees on in this passage is this, and this is critical. When Jesus is saying these things, when he's saying, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, give him the shirt off your own back, give him all these things, Jesus is not trying to take away the Old Testament law. Jesus came in and says, what is the law? That's normal. That's average. That's what everybody does. That's what everyone has to do. Jesus comes in and he doesn't do away with the law, but what he does is he raises the standard for us as followers of Christ. He's taking the average and he's raising it. And some people say, you know, he kind of raised it to an unrealistic thing. I mean, who can do all of those things? Well, that is what it looked like to be a follower of Christ in that day. And at one point in Matthew 7, later on, Jesus is talking about the average road, the wide road, and the narrow road. And he says the average road is really well traveled. It's well-worn path. Lots of people travel it. It's easy to go. You just stay with the crowd, do what everybody else is doing. And you know what? He said that path leads where? To destruction. And he said, and then there's this other road, and it's narrow, and not everyone walks it. And in fact, most don't walk it, but people who walk this path, it is a path that leads to life. So if you want to live an above average life, if you want to experience life in the way that he has designed it for us to live, we need to walk this narrow road. And then he gives us some instruction on how to live on the narrow road. And he starts out with this, Matthew 5, 38. And he says, now you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now the reason he says, you have heard it said, who knows why? Because this is connected again to the Old Testament law. Jesus saying, you've been taught this all through the Old Testament, and you've heard this said over and over and over again. You can read about this in the law of Exodus, and the law of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, an eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. And it was a law called the law of retaliation. The law of retaliation. Now, this was not about revenge. The law of retaliation was not about revenge. It was actually about justice, and it was about mercy. Because people were being offended, and then what they would do is they would go and do far worse back to the person who had offended them. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that law of retaliation was established saying this: if someone harms you, if someone wrongs you, you, according to the law, can go back and do to them what they have done to you, but you can't do worse. Now, I would have loved if this had been at work in my home growing up. I can't tell you how many times, Mom, Mark hit me. Wes, grow up. You're bigger than him. Legally, biblically, I could have punched him back. Wes, why did you hit your brother? You got to talk to God, Mom. You got to take it up with our Savior. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? How many know when someone hits you and you hit them back, you're always the one that gets caught? You know, it's like you're going to go home today, you're going to watch football. Who gets the flag? The guy who pushes back. Always. It's always the way it goes. So, yeah, I don't know. So, hit your brother when your mom's not home. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the problem with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was a law of retaliation. And here's the thing. Here's why they had established that in Israel. It's because human nature always wants to up the ante. It's not about getting even. It is about winning. You pushed me down, I'm going to push you down, and I'm going to kick dirt in your face. You came and stole my cow, you know what? I'm going to come back, I'm going to steal one of your cows, and I'm going to take some of your chickens too. That's what was going on in here. And Israel knew that you have to be able, and we have to create a structure for you to retaliate properly. So if you stole the cow, they couldn't come and take a cow and other things from you because that wasn't legal. Now, not only did it limit the amount of retaliation, but also limited the amount of the retaliation by the one who was offended. And this is a big thing. Did you know what happens is this? I think it happened then, and I think it happens now. Someone offends you deeply. And you know what we do? We retaliate. We immediately tell our friends. We immediately tell our family. We immediately go on Facebook and create a status without mentioning any names, but everyone knows what it's about. Why? Am I lying to you? You ever look on Facebook and you go, well, so-and-so's fighting with so-and-so. Man, what's going on there? You know, some people. And this is what we want. We want people who we share this to. Can you believe what they said? They told me this and they told me that. I'm so wounded by that. You know what we want? We want them to retaliate to them as if they were the one who was offended. We build our team. We build this thing. And the scripture, the law of retaliation says, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. And this is what was going on in Israel. Someone would get offended. They would get the family, get clan, they get the tribe. They said these things can get out of hand so quickly. We don't need war among the people, so we're going to come up with this law of retaliation. And here's what you need to know. While the law, the scripture allows for you to retaliate in an appropriate way, it didn't mean you had to. It didn't force you to. And Jesus is getting ready to challenge this idea that retaliation should be normal. He's beginning to challenge this because in that time and in that place, it was normal. It was average. It's what everybody did. It's what everybody expected from everybody else. If I wronged you or offended you, you're going to pay me back to an even amount, and the law was going to allow you to do that. And Jesus responds to this idea saying this, Matthew 35, 38, 39. You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. It says, do not resist, meaning do not retaliate. Do not repay them what they have done to you. Jesus says, I know that the law allows for that, but that's average. That's common. They talk bad about you, you talk bad about them. They say something about you and they build their team, you got to say something bad about them and you got to build your team. And then you just kind of walk by each other. Stare. Snicker when you hear them talk. You know, all this. Almost said stupid things. It's what I want to say. It's not what I'm going to say. All the silly little things that we get into and the bickering back and forth, retaliation, of getting back, of getting even. He says the law allows it. But you know what, guys? It's common. It's what everybody does. And you know what? I want more for you. I want more for your relationships than what's average. And then he goes on and he says this, if somebody has wronged you, I don't want you to pay them back. I don't want you to retaliate to them. And he gives us four illustrations of this one idea, situations that everybody there would understand. And in these illustrations, he addresses the law. Matthew 5:39, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, this verse has been taken out of context, I think, so many times. This verse is not saying that you have to be a pacifist and let people bully you and let people run over you and let people abuse you or harm you or hurt you. That is not what he's saying at all. He's not saying if someone's coming after you to hurt you with a clenched fist, they mean to cause you damage. You just have to stand there and go, that's not what Jesus is saying. You realize that one statistic I read said 90% of people are right-handed. And I want you to think about this. If a right-handed person hit someone in front of them, they would hit the left side of the cheek. But Scripture says the right side. This wasn't an anger. This wasn't a fight. This wasn't to hit the left side. Someone who's 90% right-handed would have to give someone the back of their hand. It's a slap to the face. And in the culture of that day, it was one of the greatest insults was to slap someone. It was demeaning. It was degrading. The most offensive thing you could do was give them the back of your hand. And so if you were to give someone the back of your hand, you would slap them across what? The right cheek. So Jesus is saying, this is not about you being hurt or attacked, but this is about you being offended. This is about someone saying something that insults you. And he's saying this, when someone insults you, intentionally in a way that embarrasses you or challenges your reputation in front of other people, don't retaliate, because that is what normal people do. That is what average people do. Don't trade insult for insult, because that's not what I want for you. I mean, that's above average. He says in Matthew 5:40, and if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt and hand over your coat as well. This was another big thing that was allowed for in the law, that they had to have a law to protect people who didn't have the means that other people had, because someone who had a lot could sue someone who had a little. And you know what? It wasn't about your innocence or guilt. It was about your representation, because the folks who didn't have as much couldn't defend themselves as well as someone who had a lot. And so there were people who were guilty or not guilty who were losing. So they created this law. They created this law to protect these people. Someone who could have not been guilty, but they would lose in court, but they didn't know how to defend themselves, and they couldn't afford to defend themselves well. So Israel had this law to protect folks. So you could sue them for their shirt, which is an inner garment, but you can't take their coat. And the reason you can't take their coat was because it was used for a lot of things. It was a blanket at night. It was a cover during the day. It was used by poor folks who were traveling, who didn't have a place to stay or couldn't afford to have a place to stay. And what they were saying is, while someone can sue you, they can't take everything. There are some things that you have to have that are personal, that are necessary, that you can no longer take from a person. Well, here comes Jesus, who says that's average, that's normal. It's what everyone does. And he turns it all around and he says, if someone tries to steal from you, if someone tries to rob you of something that is personal and dear, Jesus says, I want you to be generous to them. I want you to love them. And I can only imagine what the disciples and some of Jesus' followers were thinking. You know what? Jesus, the law is here to protect people. Jesus said, someone tries to steal from you, I want you to be generous to them, because I don't want you to have average relationships. I don't want you to be an average person. I want you to be an above average person. Matthew 5:41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Now the law there was that a Roman soldier could actually, by law, require you to carry his military pack for a while. You could just be walking down the road, minding your own business. You're not a bad person. You're just a good guy on his way to get milk for mom. And a Roman soldier could say, you carry my pack. And according to the law, you had to carry it 1 mile, or in the definition of what Scripture says, 1,000 steps. You had no say. That was the law. And so people were doing it, but man, they were counting one. You know, 99,000, you know, you just flop that thing off. I'm not going to carry it 1 step further than I should. That's normal. That's average. That's what's expected. That's what everybody did. But here comes Jesus, guys. I don't want you to be average. And if they ask you to carry it 1 mile, you know what I want? I want you to carry it 2. I want you to go the extra mile for them. And he doesn't stop there. He goes one more. Matthew 5:42, give to the one who asks and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. In the world that they had, there was this law of lending that said every 7 years, all debts would be canceled. And so if you had borrowed money from someone or borrowed something from someone and it was in year one, in 7 years, whatever you hadn't paid back, that debt was released. And it was, I want to make sure I get this right, this was not the life of the note, but every 7 years. So if you, in a seven-year span, borrowed something from someone on the sixth year, at the end of that year, your debt was released. And so what they found was that people who had the means and would lend and would, you know, make money that way got very stingy the closer to the seventh year they became. So the first year, I'll lend, because I got 7 years to collect it back. But on the sixth year, I'm not going to give much because I don't think I'm going to get back my investment. That's what was going on. So in the sixth year, they would get stingy. And here's the thing. They would turn people away who were people in need. And Jesus challenges people. Don't allow the seventh year to determine if you're going to help someone or not. What do average people do? Average people are looking to help someone if they're going to get something back. But it's the above average person that says, I'm going to help. I'm going to invest. I'm going to give. I'm going to love. I'm going to pray. I'm going to support you, even if I get nothing back. You see, Jesus is raising the standard. He's not saying don't be responsible. He's saying be responsible, be a good steward. But Jesus says to give to everyone who asks, not give everything to everyone who asks and whatever they ask for, but give to those in need. Don't give everything. Don't be irresponsible. Be a good steward. So Jesus is saying, A, turn the other cheek, give them the shirt off your back, go the extra mile, and help those that are in need. Now, I don't doubt that if we're honest, we may listen to this and we might look at these things and mumble under our breath, you know, that's kind of impossible, God. Because it feels that way when they're talking about you. It feels that way when the person you've helped again and again and again comes to you and says, hey man, I need help. It feels that way when someone you loved and trusted has taken or stolen something from you. It feels that way when you come alongside somebody and they're so content to let you carry their burden. We think no one's really like that, right? Have you ever met someone who's kind of a second mile person? Don't we love those people? Don't we love those people in our lives? When you've had a bad day and you know what, that person, that friend who's just reliable and faithful. They never get too high and they never get too low. They're just constantly there. And even when you had a bad day and you word vomited all over them and you were mad at this, but you took it out on them and maybe you weren't the great friend and they caught all of your frustrations. You ever done that to someone? What did they do? They were just there. And all the frustration, all the emotions from work or home or whatever it is, just blah, all over them. And you know what? They caught it all. They didn't deserve it. But you know what? In response, they didn't love you any different. They didn't treat you any different. They didn't retaliate. They just kind of brushed it off. Don't you love that person? Don't you love the guy that would help you any way he can? Even though you may have never done anything for them, they hear you have a need and they call and say, hey, I hear you got to move a dresser, man. You need an extra set of hands. Someone calls, hey, here's a crazy time in your life and I know your kid's driving you nuts. If you need someone just to come over and watch the child so you can go take a shower or take a nap or something, I'd love to do that for you. I just want to help any way I can. I remember what it's like. Don't you love that person? And I don't doubt that if we're honest, we may listen to this and we might think this isn't really possible. But isn't it true that those are the people that we love, people that will go the extra mile for you? We love these people. We want to marry these kind of people. We want our children to marry these kind of people. We want to do business with these kind of people. We want those kind of people to be in our lives, and we want to raise our kids to be like these kind of people, because we want people to even believe that we're like these people. And I think deep inside, we really want to be. Jesus says, I'm raising the standard, and it's a challenging standard. But what is the other option? But what are we going to aspire to be? We don't really want to aspire really to be just average, right? When you look at your life, let me ask you this. What is expected of you? In your life, what is expected of you? What do the people in your life expect of you? What does your husband or your wife expect from you? What do your parents expect from you? Does your boss expect from you? What do your children expect from you? See, we don't really like these kind of questions. These kind of questions bother us because we can kind of feel the weight of expectations kind of around our neck, and we feel like we have to live up to everybody else's expectations. Well, you know what Jesus is saying in this portion of Scripture? He's saying, no, you don't. This is what you could do. You could try not just to meet their expectations, but Jesus says you could exceed them. And you know what's amazing about choosing to exceed someone's expectations? Is that's your choice. Most of our frustrations with expectations are that we feel them being, they're being put on us versus our choosing. When I look at my life and I say, I'm going to choose to exceed. And when you are frustrated and you snap at me, I'm going to respond in love to you. I'm not going to go build my team. I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, you're going to talk to me like it's Facebook. Guess who's wearing a blue dress as a moron today? I'm not going to respond that way. When you dump something on me, I'm not going to complain and whine and say, you know what they did? They never do their job. They never do their responsibility. They always fall short and expect everybody else to do it. But I'm not going to carry it just a mile. I'm going to carry it two. When I see you in need, even if it's something I need, I'm going to give it to you. Because God doesn't call me to live average or common or normal. He calls me to live above average. That's what we have to do. Listen, I think Jesus is saying that when you begin to think about what is expected of you and you go beyond that, listen, can you imagine what that would do for some of the relationships that you are in right now? What would that do to your marriage? What would that do to your children? What would that do for your boss? Can you imagine moms, wives? Can you imagine you rush home from work and you're home and you're going to try to get dinner and you got to get the dinner going and cooking and you got kids and kids have homework and then you got to get them bathed so they don't stink and you got all this stuff on the plan and on the agenda that has to be done, and as you're walking in the door you hear something behind you. It's your husband's car pulling up in the house and you're like, why are you home? And he goes, you know what, I took a couple hours off this afternoon. It's been so crazy. And so, you know what? I'm going to handle dinner tonight, babe. I'll take care of dinner. And you know what? I'll make sure the kids get their homework done. I'll make sure they're bathed. And I'll make sure they get in bed. You know what you as a woman are going to be thinking? What do you want? Right? What do you want? Guys, can you imagine if your wife came in on a Saturday or a Sunday football or Monday night football, and she came and she begins to talk to you, and here's the first clue. A, she didn't stand directly between you and the television. So you know, that's not normal, right? And she says, hey, listen, I know this is your football day, and I know how much you love wings, and so I've ordered a bunch of wings. And when they get here, how about you and I just snuggle and we watch football together? You know what the man would be thinking? What did you do? Did you back the car into something? Did you buy a new purse? Did you bought more shoes? I mean, no, why do we think that? Why do we think that? Wives are, because that's not normal. Wives say, what do you want? Men say, what did you do? Can you imagine one afternoon when you're at work and all your stuff is done and you want to try to slip out a little early? Instead, if you walk over to your boss's door and knock on the door and poke your head in and say, "Hey, I got my stuff done. Is there anything that I can do to take something off your plate before I go?" Listen, what would that do for your relationship with your employer? Why? Because that's not normal. We're trying to sneak out. We're rappelling out of the third floor bathroom window, golf clubs on our back. We're lowering ourselves down. Listen, how would these things change your relationship? How would they impact your career? You see, many times we can't imagine that because we've never done that. I often find this, that when you act in an above average way, people respond in an above average way. So I'm going to bring us back for a second. To show you and kind of say, what do all four of these things have in common? Because all of these are going to hit closer to home than you may think. All four of these things are relational. And all four have one thing in common, and it's this: broken relationship. He says, turn the other cheek. Someone has hurt you in your life, and that's average. The normal responses that everyone expects from you is to hurt them back, to get even, to talk about them with your friends, to build your team, to hold a grudge. There's a broken relationship there. It says, give them the shirt off your back. Someone stole something from you, maybe literally, maybe emotionally. The truth is, and in some cases, they couldn't pay you back even if they tried, because the damage is already done. And what they took, they can't give back. And everyone expects you to get back at them, to do back to them what you did, plus a little extra, because that's normal. That's average. That's common. Go the extra mile. Some of you here today, you've been exploited, taken for granted by employees, maybe spouses, maybe families. You've been abused. Someone in authority, they demanded things that weren't fair. You've had to carry their load while they took the credit. Always help those in need. How many people in here have ever been burned? You extend a hand, you step into the mud with somebody to help them, and they push you down in it. You try to help somebody, you've always been there for them whenever they need you, but over and over and over again, they continue to burn you, they continue to take you for granted. And many times that you've been there for them, they've never once been there for you. Even when you had times of need, even when you picked up the phone and said, "Hey man, I could really use a friend. Hey, yeah, I'm busy." Some of us here this morning have been hurt. You've had things stolen from you. You've been used and exploited, and you've been burned again and again. And here's what Jesus says. Don't be mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what he said. If someone's hurt you, turn the other cheek. If someone has stolen from you, be generous to them. If someone has exploited you or used you, go the extra mile. If someone has burned you, lend them a helping hand. Don't turn away from people in need, even if they have burned you before. Why? Because that is above average. And Jesus wants an above average life for you. He wants you to experience something that is abundant, that is extraordinary, that will involve forgiving people when they're undeserving, giving to people who normally are just takers. It involves going above and beyond what people are demanding of you and lending to people who have no way to pay you back, no way to repay what you're doing for them, but you do it anyway. Why? Because you realize God has called you to something greater. Jesus is saying, some of you got stressed relationships, and in those relationships, you have an average relationship, but if you do, you can go far beyond, and you can exceed people's expectations of what is normal or expected or average. Jesus wants an above average life for you. And we say that is so difficult. Jesus, you don't understand my situation. You don't know what they've said. You don't know what they've done. You don't know, God, what I experienced and how embarrassed I was. You don't know my boss because I work and I work and I'm putting in all the hours and I'm putting in all the work and I'm putting in all the blood, sweat, and tears. And then I hand it to him and he walks in and he gets to be the hero. He gets the pay raise. He gets all the blessing. I feel so used. Truth is, it is impossible without Jesus. So if you're sitting here today and you say, I can't do it, well, you're right. I agree with you. You know your ability, you're self-aware. Congratulations, you're starting off above average. Most people don't have a clue about themselves. So now what do I do with that? Do you know what Jesus did when there was a broken relationship with us? Do you know what God did when he had a broken relationship with us? He exceeded our expectations. God sent his only son to die for us, to restore, to repair a relationship that had been broken. And when he did, Jesus paved the road for us to walk that second mile. He made it possible for us. You see, the second mile was way too rocky, and it was way too hard for us to travel, and Jesus knew, and he knew that we couldn't do it, so he went first. And when he did, he empowered us to be able to follow after him, to be able to walk and live a second mile kind of life with people. So how do I get back in right relationship with God? Well, how do I repay? How do I restore? How did you earn this? Well, you don't have to do that because Jesus has done it all. And that's worth celebrating. It's not about earning anything. It's about receiving him and experiencing something extraordinary. Jesus wants an above average life and above average relationships for all of you. Because of that, he has raised the standard for us to have and obtain and to live. So I want to close by asking you a couple of questions. You can write the ones down that apply to you and pray about them this week. And don't just pray on them, pray through them. Listen, what would exceeding your spouse's expectations do for your marriage? I'm not going to do what's expected. I'm going to do more than normal, more than the average. I'm going to choose this. What would that look like for you? What would exceeding your kids' expectations do for your family? The thing, 27.5 hours a week. Father spending leisure activity and 7 hours a week with their kids. What would your family look like if that was backwards or switched? What would exceeding your parents' expectations do for the future or your future or long-term relationships with them? If you're here as a young person, you're here as a teenager. Because you know what our flesh says? Our flesh says do as little as possible to get by. Am I lying? We live our lives so often by what am I obligated to? But what if we changed that thinking? What would exceeding your boss's expectations do for your career? What would exceeding your unchurched friend's expectations do for your influence into their lives? What would exceeding your offender's expectations do, not just for them and that relationship, but what would that do for your own heart? Someone's wronged you and you said, man, I'm so glad I went to church today because I found out there's a law of retaliation and I haven't been taking sermon notes. I've been planning my attack because it's in the Bible. What would happen if you weren't normal? What would happen if you weren't average? What would happen if you didn't respond common? You see, exceeding expectations brings freedom to you as well as those whom you're loving. when you turn the other cheek, when you give to those in need, when you go the extra mile, when you have a stressed relationship, doing these things provides freedom for you as well. And you can come to a place in your life that you're going to say, I am no longer going to allow them to control me or manipulate me, but I'm going to allow you, God, to control me. And I'm going to live up to your standard, and I'm going to ask you to empower me. You see, I don't know the answer to all the questions that I gave you earlier, but I promise if you start to exceed the expectations, I promise you that the answers to those questions will be anything but average, anything but common. And I believe that you would experience relationships that would be anything but normal. You see, we want to give ourselves so often a pass, and I'm going to tell you how we do it, is we say this, well, it's not the same. You see, someone hurts your friend, and it's so easy to say, you know what, don't respond like that. Live above. But when someone hurts you, oh, well, it's different. It's different. You don't understand. And by doing so, we give ourselves a pass from living like this, from doing that. Well, it's not. It's different. You don't understand. They didn't just say something kind of about me. They attacked me personally. They attacked my child. They attacked my integrity. They attacked my job. And when someone does that, you can't respond in an above average way, right? And we kind of give ourselves this out, but Jesus doesn't give you that out. We try to make our situation different so we don't have to live up to the standard that Jesus set for us. You think it's impossible, but it is possible through Jesus, and he wants to do it through you, and he will if you ask him. Listen to me, and he will if you let him. You can ask him and not let him. But if you ask him and let him, I'm telling you, you will see a change in the relationships around you, in your careers, in your lives, in your spouse, in your children, in your friends, and even in your Facebook statuses. Because he calls us to greater. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more, please contact the church office, 703-548-0300.